Can blood tests reliably guide Alzheimer's diagnosis in patients with cognitive decline? Find out about this and more in today's PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. I'm your host, Senior VP Medical Director Dr. Tim Wright, coming to you once again from the Pioneer Valley in Western Massachusetts. Here are today's stories. At the 2025 Alzheimer's Association International Conference, the association released its first clinical practice guideline for blood-based biomarker testing in the diagnostic evaluation of Alzheimer's disease. The recommendations apply to patients with cognitive impairment being seen in specialized memory care. The panel suggests that blood tests with at least 90% sensitivity and 75% specificity may be used as a triage tool, where a negative result can help rule out Alzheimer's pathology. Tests meeting both 90% sensitivity and 90% specificity may also be used as confirmatory tools in place of cerebral spinal fluid analysis or PET amyloid imaging. These recommendations follow a systemic review of 49 studies evaluating 31 biomarkers. Rather than endorsing specific assays, the guideline takes a brand-agnostic, performance-based approach. Blood-based testing offers a less invasive and more accessible alternative to current standards, but should also follow a full clinical evaluation and be interpreted in context. The guidance will be updated as new evidence emerges. In our next story, we learned from a randomized controlled trial published in the New England Journal of Medicine comparing two copper intrauterine devices, or IUDs, evaluated the contraceptive efficacy and side effect profiles of the NTCU 380 Mini, a smaller IUD available in Europe and Canada, versus the standard TCU 380A IUD used in the United States. Copper IUDs are highly effective non-hormonal contraceptives, but their size and side effects may affect acceptability, particularly among nulliparous users. This trial enrolled 1,105 participants aged 16 to 40 years, most of whom had never given birth. Participants were randomly assigned in a 4-to-1 ratio to the NTCU 380 Mini or the TCU 380A. The 3-year cumulative pregnancy rate with the NTCU 380 Mini was 4.8%, with a Pearl index of 1.86 pregnancies per 100 women years. Device placement was successful in over 97% of cases in both groups. While overall discontinuation was similar, fewer Mini users discontinued due to adverse effects, particularly bleeding and pelvic pain. Serious adverse events were rare in both groups. The findings support the Mini as an effective, well-tolerated option for users seeking a smaller, non-hormonal IUD. And finally, for all you weekend warriors out there, a prospective cohort study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine examined whether different physical activity patterns are associated with mortality risk among U.S. adults with diabetes. The study included over 51,000 adults from the National Health Interview Survey between 1997 and 2018, linked to National Death Index records. Participants were categorized into four groups: inactive, insufficiently active, less than 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity per week; weekend warriors, 150 minutes or more in one or two sessions; and regularly active, 150 minutes or more spread across at least three sessions. Compared to inactive individuals, both weekend warriors and regularly active participants had significantly lower risk of all-cause and cardiovascular mortality. All-cause mortality was 21% lower in the weekend warriors and 17% lower in the regularly active individuals. Cardiovascular mortality was reduced by 33% and 19%, respectively. There were smaller differences in cancer mortality. These findings suggest that meeting activity requirements, even in one or two concentrated sessions per week, may offer substantial mortality benefits for adults with diabetes. And that's today's Medical Roundup. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, or TuneIn. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing, Medical News Roundup, and just ask, "What's my Flash Briefing?" Thanks today to Sean Mullen, Norm Dion, and Bryce Sadie for production assistance. Join me next time for an episode where we'll cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.